Sue Wanzer pops in at this time. Sue sits on the MCCSC school board, as you know, with Keith. And Sue, you guys had a busy Tuesday, and we welcome you in this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. And yes, work session was Tuesday.
Busy meeting. Lots of information.
It was. And so, you were presented by the folks that gathered that information with three options for moving forward on what the new school day should be. And tell us what you learned.
Well, first, before we got to the three scenarios, by the way, hi, Julie.
Hi, Sue. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you still sick, too?
I don't know. Yeah, I kind of like hangs on and won't go away.
That's right. Sorry. Marty Hawk has it. Now I have it. It comes through the telephone line. This is very, airborne.
Yeah. It's a very strange disease. Anyway, before we heard the three scenarios, we had a presentation about the different factors going into the length of day, specifically talking about the student achievement that we have seen in the last 6 years.
But higher test scores, better graduation rates. Jan Bergeson presented all that, and those were some.
Right.
Those are facts, right? Those are really things that aren't feel. Those aren't things that we can't argue with, correct?
Right. Now we've changed a number of things, so I don't know if we can necessarily say it's directly a result of the school day, but it certainly seems to have an impact. But I think one of the most compelling presentations was by Gib Nieuwswander, who talked about the transportation schedule and everything that goes into the transportation schedule that really makes this really, really difficult when we're running a two-tiered system. So we got a lot of information about that, including miles driven, number of road miles covered, the shuttles that pick up children at one place and then take them to another because it's a special location for them. But the bottom line is we need 50 minutes between drop-off for elementary and drop-off for high school or vice versa.
And that's just, that's a math equation that has to be happening because you have X amount of miles, X amount of buses. Sue, just a wacky question here to get things started. If in a perfect world, if you had infinite buses and infinite bus drivers, you could make the schedule anytime you wanted?
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. Well, I'm just trying to make that clear to people that it doesn't work that way.
Right.
No, it doesn't. And that is unfortunate. But that, as you would say, Mike, that's a fact. That's the reality. That's what we're dealing with. And we have to have, and we've shortened that gap after having a consultant in October. The gap was a little bit longer, but we've made our bus transportation system more efficient. But we still have that 50-minute gap. So if we start say elementary at 8 in the morning, we have to start high school or the first bus pickup. Or high school couldn't start any earlier than 8:45 or 8:50. So we've got that gap in there. Same thing in the afternoon. So knowing that, and knowing that the superintendent's first priority was safety of children, whether it's waiting for buses in the dark, or how children are picked up, or where they're picked up by the buses, that was the first thing. We also recognize that a lot of feedback from teachers is that the elementary day is too long for kids, and it's resulting in maybe a lack of learning because kids get restless, they get tired, they're fatigued. And then the third thing, if possible, was to try to start high school later. So we had three scenarios, and one is keep school the way it is now, the instructional day. The second one would start elementary at 8 and start middle and high school at 8:45. And the third one would start elementary at 8:50 and middle and high school at 7:50. So that makes the both of those two scenarios shorten the elementary day. The second scenario starts high school later than elementary, and the third scenario starts high school first but shortens the day by 20, I think it's 20 minutes, and starts them a little bit later.
And I know nobody cares. Nobody cares what I think. But when I went to high school, our schedule was start at 7:50, get done at 3:05, or somewhere in that thing. Right. And the end of the day for me was always hurry up. Let's just get that. Let's get out of here. I want to get out of here. But here's my thing. When I was a teenager, and again, this was getting long enough ago where I probably need to start journaling some of these thoughts so I can remember in our next conversations. If you got up at 7:20 for 7:50 school time or 8:20, that's still not sleeping until noon. I don't know if we're solving any. I wasn't, the school day or the snow day where you got that extra hour to sleep in really didn't solve any of my teenage tiredness
but
problems.
But Sue, did I read that there are some kids...
I'll sleep in class anyhow.
If they ride the bus, some of them are having to get on the bus at like 5:45 in the morning. Is that, did I read that correctly?
Correct.
Some of those routes last a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way it is right now, that's the first pickup time. We have some kids, now remember, this isn't for everybody, but we do have some kids who ride a bus for 75 minutes. We have some people who live in Monroe County near Lake Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to their houses, the bus has to go into Brown County and then back around into Monroe County to pick them up.
Right.
So maybe the answer is to have a boat. I don't know.
Or a helicopter or a ferry, the Staten Island ferry.
Right.
You could go faster than that. And then the other part is, if we talked about if we had in a perfect world, if you had enough money, if you had infinite money and infinite bus drivers, but the reality is, at least what I'm reading here in the Herald Times, a new bus to create an extra route costs between $110,000 and $120,000.
Yeah.
And that's one.
Exactly.
That's not buses or routes. That's singular. and that's you want to make 5 more of those, you want to make 10 more of those. I don't know if that's spending your education dollars in the wisest ways because you don't have a lot of those either.
Right. And you know, we've talked about the different funds that we have for education. So one of the funds we have is a transportation fund. So we can't go to other funds and take money out of those other funds.
You can't cherry pick. It's in its own silo, correct?
Right.
And that's by state law. That's not something you do to be fiscally responsible or fiscally obtuse. You do it because you have to. There's no other way around it.
Right. And not only do we have to spend that much money on a new bus, but then there's also the gas and staffing that bus and maintaining that bus and caring for that bus.
Absolutely. So, it comes with it all. Sue Wanzer's our guest this morning. Julie Warren's in the studio as well. Sue serves on the MCCSC school board. She has just told us about the 3 scenarios for the potential school day options. The work session you had on Tuesday night presented these options. What is the next step in this process?
Well, the next step is that the superintendent's going to make a decision among those 3 scenarios.
And I want to stop you right there because I think people assume the school board makes these decisions. That's not the case, is it?
Well, this school board member assumes she's going to be part of that decision-making, too. So I'm not sure what I misheard or what I didn't, but what the superintendent said was because when the day was lengthened, that decision was made at that time by the superintendent and given to the board as an informational piece, and the board didn't vote on it. I asked about that at the meeting, and I weighed in with my thoughts, even though I'm not the one making the decision, because I thought it was important as an elected official that I at least weigh in with my opinion so at least people would know what I thought. And so far, I've had some folks contact, people I don't know, but people who've contacted me by email to say, tell me why it is you like scenario 2. So I've had some nice discussions with people as a result of that. Again, that's my opinion. I'm not going to make the decision.
Right. Well, I just wanted to make sure that people understood that the school board is not making this decision. Mm-hmm. Your job is to advise the superintendent, correct?
Right. and certainly the superintendent is influenced by a lot of different pieces of input. Certainly it was a lot of the input from teachers that led her to the conclusion that it seems like our elementary day is too long. So the superintendent does listen and does take input, and so that's why I thought it important that I weigh in, although I'm not voting on this.
Now, when is she expected to make a decision? And I know there's been a lot of opportunities for the public to and parents to have input, and I've taken the survey. But is she going to try to get more input? Are we done with that at this point? When is she going to make a decision?
The decision will be announced at the February regular session, regular meeting, which I think is the 23rd.
Yes.
So that's when the announcement will be made. She did say at the meeting, and I think it's in the newspaper, that if people have more comments, they could certainly send those into the school corporation on the website or to Tim Pritchett, who is our PR and communications manager. And there is, and that's T-R-I-T-C-H-D at mccsc.edu. And there's also the whole presentation that was done is on the website, so people can take a look at all that different information that was presented to the school board.
And this is going to be a dumb question. You could tell by the way I've started. I'll just continue now. There's no point in putting the shit back in the...
Yeah.
This couldn't be a referendum-style question. Is this something you didn't want to take away from it? Is that not how it works? If this is such an important deal, why not let the people decide? You can just call me stupid.
You
won't be the first one. Yeah, if it's such a big deal that people want to... Is there anything obviously the money is referendum style. Is that the only thing that can be referendum?
I guess anything could be, but, you know, when we do that, there's election costs that go into holding any kind of an election.
Sure.
I don't know that information would be necessarily any better. I mean, certainly...
Again, you can say it's a terrible idea. I'm starting to think it is myself.
No, I don't know that it's a terrible idea. But we want to listen to parents and teachers. And certainly, we want input from the rest of the community, people who might not have kids in school, because I know our Wednesday late start time affected a lot of employers. Oh, and by the way, the three scenarios eliminate the Wednesday late start. So
yes,
we're going to start at the same time every day.
And
that's the one change.
Exactly, because if you want to shorten it, you can't. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She checks in from the MCCSC. What else do we need to know moving forward, Sue?
About that, or do you want to hear about the referendum?
I want to hear about the referendum. That was my lead-in. The worst question ever asked in the history of organized radio. The referendum, we saw on the front page of the paper the other day, you are asking less and getting less.
Right. The first time we did the referendum, it was 14 cents on $100 of assessed valuation. And at that time, I think the average cost of a house was, what the figures we were given from the county was $150,000 something. Now it's $165,000, mm-hmm. and we will be asking for 11.5 cents. Because of the way the valuation is right now, we do believe we can get our $7 million from that. And we're taking less money and spending more of our cash balances, which right now we supplemented quite well because of the referendum, but before the referendum they were dangerously low. So we can spend some of that going into 2022 is how long the referendum would last. That sounds like a long way from now, doesn't it?
Well, so did the last one.
Yeah, and then
pardon?
It's...
So did the last one.
And it's already up.
Yeah. Here we are.
So.
Right. So, but the important thing for people to know, I think, is that we were presented with a list of exactly, and it was very explicit and very precise, how the money would be spent for the referendum. So it details for the salaries that come out of the referendum, exactly how much of that would go for salaries for high school, for elementary school, for different schools, for Bradford Woods, for different programming. So that's all laid out there very specifically, because I know the last time people felt that they were told one thing and the school board spent money in a different way. So this is all very explicit and precisely laid out.
And everybody can see it, and it's all right there in all of its glory, as it will be on which ballot again, Sue, just so I don't confuse anyone?
Pardon, what did you say? And which
the referendum will be on which ballot again?
Oh, in November. It will be during the general election.
So you have
yes.
plenty of time to make up your mind and see exactly where this goes and ask plenty of questions and et cetera, on all of that.
And And also, I would like to mention, we've had a lot of people coming forward saying, I want to help with the referendum. What can I do? How do I volunteer? And people can call the superintendent's office. People can contact any board member. Our tri-chairs are Jim Mewling, Lynn Coyne, and Vanessa McClary. Someone can contact them, and we'll get you, we'll get that noted and then put you to work at some point.